Here we go. Okay, so does anybody recognize this guy?
Family Guy.
No, that's not the Family Guy. Who is this? It's Homer Simpson. That's right, Homer Simpson, one of the most famous dads we've got in American culture. How about this guy? Sound of Music. This is Captain Baron Von Trapp. That's right. Another famous dad from the media. How about this guy? This is harder. He's from Pan. That's right. He's from a lot of things. But this is the dad from Pan, which does anybody remember what distinguishes him at the beginning of Pan? He's what? Anybody remember? He's no fun. He's a workaholic. Do you see he's got a cell phone like when cell phones were bigger than this? He works all the time, like 80-hour weeks, right? So what do all three of these dads have in common?
They're dads.
Good. What else do they have in common? They're lame. These dads are so lame. Okay, so Homer, he is in so many commercials for cleaning supplies also. Not Homer, but the sort of bumbling idiot dad, right, that just can't do anything right. He means well, but he's just not really good at parenting stuff. Captain Von Trapp, Baron Von Trapp, whatever his name is, he's like a disciplinarian, right? He wants his kids to toe the line, do what they're told, be seen and not heard. And here's the workaholic dad. He's kind of absent, right? Now, what I want to talk about today, I felt like God put this message on my heart, was that our culture has hijacked fatherhood. Sometimes with our cooperation, and we want to reclaim that. But I have a few notes that I want to tell you before we get started. All the scripture I'm going to be sharing today is from the New International Version, except for it's the New International Reader's Version, and the reason for that is because we have a lot of little ones in service with us today, and I want to make sure that everybody here understands this message because it's about your dads, right? And I also want you to know, just like what Judy said when we were singing, if you have a father who is absent or maybe not sort of doing what dads are supposed to be doing, hang in there. Because we're going to address that later on. I don't want you to check out thinking, well, I don't really have a great dad, so I don't need this. Just hold on, okay, because it's coming for you. All right. Think about your own dad when you think about these three dads, because it's possible that your dad exhibited one of these three sort of personality types, right, or parenting types. And we'll be thinking about that also as we work through the message today. Okay, so here's biblical fatherhood, which is what we're going to try and recapture today. Now, dads are invaluable and irreplaceable, and this is, I'm going to say this exact sentence multiple times today because it's so important. Kids hunger for their dad's blessing. In fact, in Genesis, Esau gave his birthright away, right? He traded it for a bowl of soup. We'll get to that. And we're going to learn that his brother stole his blessing. And Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And then Esau wept loudly. Kids of all ages deeply desire for their dads to bless them. I don't want you to talk about this because some of you might be sitting next to your own dad, but think to yourself, how did you feel or how do you feel now about getting your dad's blessing, about having his approval, about having him speak positive messages about you? How do you feel? How does that make you feel when you get it or don't get it? These are some quotes from Psychology Today, because even the non-Christian world knows that no one can replicate a dad's very special style of love. Dads, you are amazing. Fatherhood turns out to be complex and unique, and it has huge consequences for children. So dads are important, and the specific way that dads parent is important. In fact, I don't know what this quote means, but it's so awesome. Fathers love more dangerously. I don't even know what that means, but it was so cool that I had to put it on here because I love the idea that even the way dads love can have like a really cool edge to it. So keep that stuff in mind. As we look at Genesis 27, this is where Jacob steals his father's blessing. This is the section that Gail read for us. I'm just going to go over the basic plot of it again. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but basically, it was time for Isaac to die, and he wanted to give his oldest son a blessing. And his mom knew this, and so his mom pulled the second son over and said, "Psst, we're going to trick your dad so that you get the blessing instead." And so they did this, right? Jacob tricked his dad, who was old and going blind, into blessing him with the oldest son's blessing instead. We can't read this section of the Bible without having some questions come to our mind. The first thing I want to point out is let's look at Jacob's response, right? My mom never did anything like this, so nobody needs to like find her after church. But if she had come to me and said, "Let's trick your dad out of giving your sister what he was going to give her so that you get it instead," this would have made me very uncomfortable, right? I wouldn't have wanted to do it. I would have somehow figured out a way for this not to happen. But if you look at verse 12, Jacob says, "Well, what if dad touches me? He's going to know. I'm not hairy like my brother is. He's going to know that I was trying to trick him, and he'll curse me." So Jacob is worried about getting caught. He decides to try it anyway. His mom convinces him. If you go into verse 18, his dad says, he goes into his dad and he says, "Hey, dad." "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who is it?" So Isaac knows it's one of his sons, but he's not sure which one. And what does Jacob say? "I'm your oldest son, Esau. I've done as you told me." He lies twice. He says, "I'm Esau." He says, "I did what you said, and I went and I caught the wild animals for you." Isaac asks him again a question. "How did you find it so quickly?" "Well, you're right, Dad. I'm Jacob. Just kidding." No, he says, "Well, the Lord your God gave me success." Oh my gosh, he even pulls God into it. And he lies a third time. Let's go to verse 24. Isaac is blind, but he's not a complete idiot, and he's trying to figure out, this doesn't feel right to him, and he says, "Are you really my son Esau?" "I am," Jacob replied. So there's Jacob, when he goes all in. So if we want to discover, this is something that Dave talks about all the time, if we want to know, like, why would Jacob steal the blessing? Why would he lie to his dad? We have to go back. Dave says this all the time. If you're not sure what's going on, just go back. So let's look back at Genesis 25. It's just a couple chapters back. One day, so this is before Isaac is old and dying, one day Jacob was cooking some stew. Esau came in from the open country. He was very hungry. He said to Jacob, "Quick, I'm so hungry. Let me have some of that red stew." That's why his nickname is Edom. I guess Edom means red. Okay. Jacob replied, "First, sell me the rights," that's like the inheritance, "sell me the rights that belong to you as the oldest son in the family." "Look, I'm dying of hunger," Esau said. "What good are those rights to me?" But Jacob said, "First, promise to sell me your rights." So Esau promised to do it. He sold Jacob all the rights that belonged to him as the oldest son. So this isn't even the first time that Jacob has tricked somebody in his family out of something. Why would he do that? Why would he think he had to steal his dad's blessing? Why would he think he had to steal the inheritance from his brother? Well, let's go back a little further. Genesis 25:28. Esau was Isaac's favorite son, but Rebekah's favorite was Isaac. Was Jacob, sorry. And in the NIV, it says, "Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Jacob had not received his father's blessing growing up, and his mother's blessing wasn't enough. So that's hugely important. He knew he wasn't the favorite of his dad. And even though, like, oh, well, I'm my mom's favorite, that wasn't enough to satisfy him. He still deeply craved his dad's blessing. So this leads to some problems for Jacob. I can't believe when you go online, you can find Lego Jacob wrestling with God. Okay? So let's take a look in Genesis 32. So to set the stage, this is later in life. Jacob's an adult. He's married. He has children. He's returning back to his homeland. And in the evening, he's camping by himself. Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until morning. The man saw that he couldn't win, so he touched the inside of Jacob's hip. As Jacob wrestled with the man, Jacob's hip was twisted. Then the man said, "Let me go. It is morning." But Jacob replied, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." Now, I have heard different people call this man God himself. I've heard people refer to him as Jesus, and I've heard people refer to him as an angel delivered there by God. It doesn't really matter for this. The point for us, why did Jacob think he had to fight God to get God to bless him? If we think about the nature of the Lord, he's our good, good father. His heart actually longs to bless us. We don't have to fight the Lord to get a blessing from him. So why did Jacob think that in order to receive the blessing of God, he had to fight God? Well, what I'm going to share with you now, I just want to put like a big disclaimer. You will not find what I'm about to say in the Bible. I believe that it's an accurate interpretation that was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit as I prayed over these verses, but I do want you to hold it lightly, test it against Scripture to make sure that it doesn't feel like it violates any truth that's already in God's Word. Okay? So Jacob grew up knowing he didn't have his dad's blessing. He stole it from his dad, which filled him with some sort of like doubt, constant doubt that he even ever received it. If you steal a blessing from somebody, you know they didn't want to give it to you. And this impacted how he felt about God and what he thought was true about God. So Jacob, his only experience with receiving a blessing was through deceit and force. And so he thought that that's what you had to do with the Lord. Dads, you are so irreplaceable that you impact the way we think about everything, including Jesus himself. You're irreplaceable. You're amazing. You're important. Now, here we go. This is the part I said was coming. What if there's no dad on the scene for you? This could be for you yourself. You're a child and your dad is absent. This could be if you're a single mom or a single parent and you're raising kids without dads. This could be if you're an adult, your dad wasn't around, or your dad was not super skilled at being a good dad or delivering the blessing. What then? Well, let's look at some verses. Dads are irreplaceable, and yet, now I'm going to actually have you talk to your partner in a moment, so make sure you're listening to this, okay? Genesis 17, now the setting here is that Abraham had a child that he knew he wasn't going to be able to raise. This child was going to grow up without a dad. And so Abraham said to God, "I really wish Ishmael could receive your blessing." Think about the implications of that statement for someone growing up without a dad. Genesis 48, Joseph is older. And his dad has come back, and he's introducing grandpa to the grandkids. That's what's happening here, okay? Grandpa has never met the grandkids. And Joseph says, "They are the sons God has given me," Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, "Bring them to me. I want to give them my blessing." Think about the implications here for people who are living life without a dad on scene. Second Chronicles, the priests and the Levites gave their blessing to the people. God heard them. Their prayer reached all the way to heaven, which is the holy place where God lives. Think about the implications there for people growing up without a dad. Two more. Acts 15, what you have here is like a group of believers, and another group of believers has come to visit. Okay, so you got two groups of people who love Jesus hanging out together. Then the believers sent them away with the blessing of peace. And finally, from Psalm 68, God is father to the fatherless. So just talk to somebody next to you. We read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. What are the implications for people who are growing up or are adults and they don't have a dad on the scene? What do we learn from these scriptures? Talk to your neighbor. I know this is not normally what you do at church, but I can't really help it. So just talk to the person next to you. What are the implications here? All right, let's get some of the kids. In Genesis 17, Abraham said to God, I really wish Ishmael could receive your blessing. If you don't have a dad on scene, who could be like your surrogate dad? Did anybody, Angus? God himself. Absolutely true. God himself can be like a surrogate dad for you if you don't have a dad on scene. Genesis 48, Israel says to Grandpa, here's the sons. And Israel says, Grandpa says, bring them to me. I want to give them my blessing. Who else can be like a surrogate dad? A grandfather, or you're going to say grandfather. How about like an uncle? Do you think that could work too? Some other family member? Absolutely. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. The priests and the Levites, these are basically like the pastors and the elders, gave their blessing to all the people. Who else could be like a dad to you?
Pastor, yeah? A pastor, but also some people have godfathers.
Sure, godfathers can count like people that are in your family, and a pastor, an elder.
Yeah, sometimes people just want to parent
people. Absolutely.
Model.
Absolutely. How about Acts 50? Oh, wait, you want to go, Steve?
I don't want to be self-serving.
Grandpa. Absolutely. And in fact, that's what Emma just said, too. But she's so tiny. She said grandpa's. Acts 15, where the believers sent them with the blessing of peace. Who else can fill in as a dad? Let's see, Charlie or Michael or Ezra. What's that? You're thinking about it? Your worship leader could, right? Somebody sitting next to you at church. Anybody in the family of God could. An uncle, exactly. And then, of course, God is father to the fatherless. We already said God. So, if you don't have a dad on scene, or if you're raising kids without a dad on scene, God has provided a surrogate dad or dads. This was true in my own life. I struck out a little bit in the dad department. But when I look back, I see men like Jerry Thexton and Smitty all throughout, and they were surrogate dads for me from the time I was little until now. So we don't have to suffer without the amazing integral part that dads play in our lives. All right, now we'll go back to dads, earthly dads. So how do dads bless us? I've said they're irreplaceable. I've said you dads are important. How? What's special about dads? Well, first off, dads discipline their kids. Oh, wrong slide. All right, dads, the way you train and discipline your children is a blessing. Proverbs 3, 11, and 12 said that a father trains the child he is pleased with. And Hebrews 12, 7 says, what children are not trained by their dads? Dads, so this stuff here that I'm going to share comes from Focus on the Family, things like that. So this part isn't from the Bible, but this is from studies that people have done of families. Listen to this. Dads' words have great impact. I bet if you think about your own dad, you can remember the words that your dad said to you. Moms tend to parent with sympathy and grace and giving help, where dads tend to bring balance with justice, fairness, duty, and rules. And if you think about Micah 6:8, it says we're to love justice and mercy. So when you have a mom and a dad on the scene, the dad brings balance to that parenting. Dads also are more direct in laying out consequences. They use less words. They get straight to the point, tend to. This prepares kids for the real world. So dads, just in the way that you train and discipline your kids, you are blessing your children, and we are grateful for you. Dads, you're also a blessing because of the way you physically interact with your kids. Deuteronomy 1:31 says, "You also saw how the Lord your God brought you through the desert. He carried you everywhere you went, just as a father carries his son." Of course, this verse specifically refers to a dad who is giving support, right? Carrying someone who's struggling or something. However, stick with me on this. Dads, you're more physical than moms. You play differently, you snuggle differently, you wrestle, you carry kids differently. And that's a huge blessing to your kids. One thing I read that I thought was so interesting is that the very specific physical way that dads play actually creates children who are more confident. Who knew? Because dads, you encourage your kids to push the boundaries. You encourage them to take risks physically. Aiden, can you turn this mic down a little bit? It feels like it's... When you encourage your kids to roughhouse with you or to take physical risks themselves, you are actually empowering them and giving them courage. That's so awesome. So dads, the way that you play with your kids is actually a great blessing. Now, dads, your compassion is also a blessing. And I know that we tend to think of moms as the compassionate one, but if you look at scripture, the dads are the ones that get highlighted for their compassion. Psalm 103 says, "A father is tender and kind to his children." And Luke 15:20, now this is the prodigal son story, which is where the son says, "Dad, give me all the money that you're going to give me when you die. I don't want to wait." And then he goes and he spends it all doing naughty stuff. And then he comes home to try to sneak into his dad's house and be like work for him in his business. But while the son was still a long way off, his dad saw him. He was filled with tender love for his son. He ran to him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. Dads, you're so compassionate for your kids when they're struggling. And your kids need that. And it is a blessing. And you are irreplaceable because of your special kind of compassion. Dads, the way you protect your kids is also a blessing. Now, when I Googled this one, oh my gosh, every picture on the internet is a dad with a shotgun greeting the boyfriend at the door while the daughter is standing in his prom dress, in her prom dress. And I actually thought that was so... I should have told you ahead of time, don't celebrate when I say that, because I'm about to say that's like another caricature dad, right? That's not the way dads protect their kids. Proverbs 14 says, "Anyone who shows respect for the Lord has a strong tower. It will be a safe place for his children." This picture is so awesome. So dads, it's your faith that protects your kids. It's your trust in the Lord. It's your walk with him. It's your belief that he's not going to let you down no matter what happens. That's what protects your kids. And that is wonderful. Dads, you're a blessing in the way that you teach and model also. So we start from this faith that you have, right? That you dads use to protect your kids. And then Proverbs 4:1-3 says, "My children, listen to a father's teaching. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you good advice, so don't turn away from what I teach you, because I too was once a young child." How many of you had a dad who said, "Do as I say, not as I do"? I did, right? This verse actually says, the dad says, "Hey, look, I know what it's like to be a kid. I know what it's like to make a mistake. I know what it's like to be human. I too was once a young child. I know what it's like." 1 Thessalonians, that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. And then the next couple verses tell us what that's like. We gave you hope and strength. We comforted you. And we really wanted you to live in a way that's worthy of God. So this is what dads teach their kids. They model. They admit mistakes. They talk about what their life was like. They really want their kids to live in a way that's worthy of God. Modeling your walk is huge for your kids. When I was growing up, my dad also, well, you'll have to talk to my mom later, but he basically gave the impression that he had never gotten anything less than an A, that he'd never been pulled over by the cops in the car, that he'd never had beer before he turned 21. Like, he was perfect, literally perfect. And it wasn't until I got much older that my mom told me some stories that actually I didn't want him to celebrate being naughty, but it would have helped me to know that struggle is normal and okay, because the bar was set ridiculously high, right? So dad's modeling real faith and honesty is a way that you bless your kids. Now, there's something else that really surprised me when I read about it. Moms tend to talk more. You've all heard jokes about this, right? Like, the dad comes home and he's used up all his words at work, and the mom's been at work all day, but she has like 20,000 words left, right? So you would think that kids learn how to talk from their moms. But listen to this. The way dads teach and talk to their kids, moms tend to talk down. Okay, I didn't even think about this till just now. I'm using the New International Reader's Version so that the kids who are here will be able to access all of the scriptures we're using. So I'm doing it. Dads tend to speak to their kids as equals. They don't tend to talk down. Now listen to this. Studies have shown this actually drives kids to expand their vocabulary and their linguistic skills so that they're more confident as they grow up in communicating with other people. Dads, that's so awesome. I'm an English teacher. That is so awesome. Dads also teach about the world of adult men. You probably have heard studies about this before, but girls who have dads who are modeling Christian living, these dads are involved. These dads love the Lord. Those girls tend to have healthy relationships with boys their own age and men. That's a huge gift that you dads are giving your daughters you don't even know about. Now, what about sons? So the same kind of dads. These dads love Jesus, and they are modeling their walk, and they're involved in their kids' lives. Your sons will be less violent than sons of other dads because they know that to be a real man does not mean you have to be violent. So just by the way you teach your kids and you model your life of faith, you are giving huge blessings to your children. So here's where the paper and pen come in. So make sure you have that handy. This is tiny. I apologize. I'm going to read it to you. There's four different options. You can mix it up. This is not an assignment. No one's going to check your work. So as I describe this, if there's a way that works better for you, take it. If you have a dad, should be everybody in here, you could write some ways your dad has blessed you. Consider reading it aloud to him later today. If you have to email it to him, send it in a text, post it on Facebook. Reading it aloud is just a real blessing, so I would encourage you to do that. If you don't have a dad, maybe you never had a dad, maybe your dad is gone on to heaven, but ask God to show you who your spiritual dads have been. You can write about ways these dads have blessed you. Consider reading that to them and or write it as a prayer of thanks to God. If you are a dad, write a blessing for your kids and consider reading that out loud to them today. If you're a single parent and there's no helper dad on scene, ask God who the spiritual dad of your kid is or your children is. Ask him if maybe there isn't one yet. If that's the case, please ask God to provide a spiritual father for your children, and you can write that out as a prayer. If you don't know how to write yet, draw a picture of you and your dad doing something fun together. Okay? I'll read these through one more time, but you can go ahead and start writing as soon as you know the one that fits for you. You could write a letter to your dad or a list of ways your dad has blessed you. You could ask God who your spiritual dads are, and write how they've blessed you. You can write a blessing for your kids if you're a dad. If you're a single parent, you can ask the Lord who the spiritual fathers of your children are. And if you don't know who they are, you could ask God for a spiritual dad for your kids. You could write about that. And if you want, you can draw a picture of yourself and your dad doing something fun. We'll probably take about 2 minutes, okay? If you have more to say, you can sit down later today and write some more. and you can write more tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You don't have to wait for Father's Day for this, right? So, dads, you are a blessing. Proverbs 17:6 says that the glory of children is their fathers. And I use a different version for this because I really love the way this verse is written. But if you want a version that might be easier, it says the Don Claflin version because I inverted the sentence so that the grammar was straightforward. That's all I did. Kids are proud of their dads. Kids are proud of their dads at any age. Dads, you are a blessing. You're invaluable. You're irreplaceable. I encourage dads to pray aloud for your children daily. Luckily, before we had kids, we had really close friends who modeled this for us. This is not how I grew up, but every night they went into their kids' bedroom, they put their hands on their children, and they prayed for their kids. Dads, if you are not doing this now and you have little ones, I highly encourage you to do it. Pray for your kids daily, out loud, in front of them, with your hand on them. A lot of you pray for your kids on your own, but if you have the opportunity to do this, don't waste it. And dads, for kids of any age, I encourage you to give periodic verbal blessings that aren't tied to you did a good job today or I'm really proud of this, but just bless your kids for who they are in the Lord. A lot of you already do this, and we're so thankful. I'm so thankful to be around so many dads who take care of their kids this way because, dads, you bless us.